business aviation shows signs of a recovery. His last takeoff came after rough air and wind gusts like he'd never seen before. And NBAA is now a top five trade show. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, May 28, 2009. How about we start with some good news today? When Cirrus announced a few weeks ago it was stepping up production of its top-selling piston singles, it was tempting to think that the first robins of an economic spring were hopping across business aviation's lawn again. Now, Brian Foley Associates, a New Jersey-based firm that assists investors on due diligence in the business aviation segment, says there are other signs the business aviation slump is hitting the bottom. Firm President Brian Foley says there's more pain to come, including possible sales or consolidation among OEMs. But he adds that sectors of the business which were the first to feel the impacts of the economic downturn way back in 2007, including charter operators, FBOs, and piston OEMs, will also be the first to recover, and some are already reporting modest upturns. For other segments, including manufacturers, the pain will last through mid-2010. Quote, "The business jet industry is no longer careening off a cliff, it's just bouncing off the rocks below. The worst of the cataclysmic economic events are behind us, but the perturbations will continue rippling through the industry for a while," unquote. Several weeks ago, Foley predicted the swollen inventory of used business jets would level off by this summer and start to decline early next year. You can hear my complete interview with Brian Foley on today's Aero News special feature. There are still many questions surrounding the crash that killed 56-year-old Explorer Aeronautique president Bernard Laferriere as he flew his company's Echo Flyer LSA prototype home from Lakeland to Quebec on April 27th. But the National Transportation Safety Board has interviewed personnel at Lieutenant William Eaton Airport north of Norwich, New York, where Laferriere topped off his fuel and waited several hours for strong winds to subside. Those interviewed said Laferriere appeared shaken by his experience with the winds on arrival, complaining of, quote, "rough air and wind gusts like he had never seen before," unquote. Weather records show no extreme wind reports after 4:30 p.m. local time when Laferriere departed, and witnesses on the ground said the takeoff looked normal. The investigation will continue. The National Business Aviation Association's annual meeting and convention has achieved a notable distinction. Trade Show Weekly has ranked NBAA the fifth largest trade show in the United States for 2008. NBAA calls the achievement a testament to the 1.2 million jobs and the $150 billion that the business aviation industry contributes to the nation's economy, the thousands of attendees and exhibitors who participate at the annual event, and the NBAA members themselves who helped the convention thrive. NBAA 2009 is coming up October 20th through the 22nd in Orlando. Up next on ANN, New York may drop the tax hammer on business aviation. Virgin Atlantic predicts all airlines will lose money this year. And Boeing's latest milestone comes just in time. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-Cessna.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for May 28th. I'm Paul Plack. As the state of New York scrambles to replace tax revenue lost by the closing of the Wall Street firms, compounded by a recession, general aviation is again in the crosshairs. The Albany Times Union reports that the state assembly defeated a proposal to levy an additional 5% luxury tax on new aircraft over $500,000, but a state sales tax exemption on aircraft repairs, maintenance, and parts is set to expire at the end of this year and may not be renewed. Albany County Airport Authority CEO John O'Donnell tells the paper that following the passage of the exemption, the industry experienced a substantial boom in business. His claim is backed up in a recent study by state tax officials. O'Donnell not only wants the exemption renewed, but is pushing for a sales tax exemption on the purchase of new aircraft to match incentives offered in neighboring states. Given New York Governor David Patterson's recent call for more than 80 new or increased state taxes and fees, that could be a tough sell. Virgin Atlantic has reported 2009 profits double those of last year through February, but says it expects to wind up in the red for the current year as a whole. CEO Steve Ridgway tells the London Telegraph that a sharp decline of fares in the seats, volatile fuel prices, and extraordinary pressure to cut costs are all contributing factors. Quote, "These are some of the toughest times any of us can remember. I would be very surprised if anybody made any money," unquote. His boss, Virgin Atlantic founder and president Sir Richard Branson, is still praising his airline's performance. Quote, "To increase profits against a backdrop of such a severe recession is an excellent achievement by all of our staff at Virgin Atlantic," unquote. Boeing Integrated Defense has achieved a milestone which could be crucial for its competitive profile in the upcoming third round of the battle to build the U.S. Air Force's next aerial tanker. Three of its 767-based tankers are now flying for Japan. Dave Bowman, VP and General Manager of Boeing Tanker Programs, commented, quote, "Delivery of the first KC-767J aerial refueling tankers and their achievement of initial operational capability status just a few weeks after the arrival of Japan 3 are great milestones. Boeing has KC-767 international tankers that have been built, flown, tested, certified, delivered, and in operational service today," unquote. Boeing has a fourth tanker for Japan being finished in Wichita and expects to begin deliveries of three KC-767s to the Italian Air Force before the end of this year. The operational status in Japan comes just weeks before U.S. Defense Secretary Robert Gates plans to reopen bidding for the U.S. Air Force's KCX tanker contract. Dynon Avionics, which is providing glass panel equipment for many new LSAs and experimentals, has announced the release of upgraded EFIS software. Version 5.1 includes an important enhancement which allows systems interfaced to GPS receivers to substitute GPS ground speed for airspeed if the pitot-derived airspeed indication fails. An on-screen enunciator displays GPS assist when in this backup mode, and significantly, the AHARs will continue to display accurate attitude. For a complete list of Dynon products eligible for the software upgrade, see DynonAvionics.com. Still ahead, the TBM Avenger comes to Fantasy of Flight. A Virginia city finds building a new airport a better deal than fixing up an old one. And are first-class airline seats only for Europeans? You're listening to Aero News.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin Wass GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're gonna fly in the soup, you gotta have an opener. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, May 28th. I'm Paul Plagg. If you've never been to Fantasy of Flight in Florida, you've certainly heard of it. Here's one more reason it should be on your bucket list. Founder and owner Kermit Weeks has flown his TBM Avenger World War II torpedo bomber into FOF from its former home in a Miami museum. The 70-year-old plane reportedly averaged 165 knots on the trip. The Avenger is famous in part for being the plane in which former President George H.W. Bush was shot down over the Pacific island of Chichijima in June of 1943. But Weeks says it represents much more. Quote, "This bomber played a major role in the victory of World War II and helps to tell the story of the Allies' win in ways that history books simply cannot. It's truly a tangible piece of American history," unquote. Like many of the incredible vintage planes that Weeks maintains in flyable condition, the Avenger is expected to join in the rotation of daily air shows at Fantasy of Flight. Watch for details at fantasyofflight.com. After a year-long feasibility study in James City, Virginia, the City Board of Supervisors Community Airport Committee has decided that building a new airport makes more sense than buying and repairing an existing privately owned field. The existing Williamsburg-Jamestown Airport falls short of FAA standards, prompting creation of a site search committee to find someplace to build a new one. Site selection, environmental impact studies, design and layout, and land acquisition could push the actual start of construction out 20 years, and land availability is tight in the area, so rehabbing the private airport could eventually get another look. Williamsburg-Jamestown Airport has a single 3,200 by 60-foot runway, 1331, that would require widening and other upgrades to pass FAA muster as a publicly owned field. There's also fuel, an FBO and pilot shop, and a restaurant on the field. Owner Larry Waltrip, who built the airport with his wife Jean back in 1970, says he's ready to retire. There are 77 planes based on the field, most of them piston singles. And finally, with premium airline seats going unsold in the recession, the world's airlines appear split on the value of first-class upgrades as marketing tools. The New York Times reports British Airways will take delivery of four new long-haul Boeing 777s without first-class seats and will review each new plane order case by case. Qantas says it's dropping first class, at least temporarily, on three of its flights, and the sheepskin mattresses, handmade chocolate truffles, and designer sleepwear that came with them. Airlines in the U.S. have already cut first-class seats dramatically after finding it hard to fill them with anyone but rewards points upgraders. But if you just can't handle coach, perhaps open skies will bring you what you need. Lufthansa will offer an opulent first-class section on its new Airbus A380s. Emirates will have eight private suites on each of its A380s, and both will offer free caviar and showers for passengers. Air France has just opened a new first-class lounge at Paris-Charles de Gaulle Airport. Lufthansa has an entire terminal reserved for first-class passengers at Frankfurt. Fortunately, for many listeners to this Aerocast, there remains one option for comfort and privacy on U.S. domestic routes. It's called General Aviation. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, business aviation consultant Brian Foley says the market shocks which have depressed business aviation are about over, and tells us which businesses in the segment will recover first. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts. Find them on iTunes, Odeo, and at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.